Breakfast. Now, even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Hello, Tom and Lou here for more Radio Breakfast.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast channel. Now, Jack was off for half term this week, so it was just Lou and myself, and it was a little quiet.
Oh, it's been so peaceful.
So listen, enjoy the highlights from the last 7 days.
Tom, Lou and Jack, the best bits. Even more Radio Breakfast. More
radio. It's Get to Know Your Body Day today.
Oh, we mentioned this a bit earlier on, didn't we?
Yeah. International Know Your Body Day. So I've been giving you these amazing facts that you didn't know about your body. We learned earlier on that your bones are stronger than concrete.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Very cool, isn't it? Did you know that one person in 20 has an extra rib and often they don't even know they've got it?
Really?
Yeah, and more than not, they're men as well. So,
1 in 20, that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to help you with anything, having an extra rib at all, is it?
Spare rib.
Spare rib.
Chew on it.
Barbecue sauce. here it is, yeah. During your lifetime, you will produce enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools.
Oh!
That's gross, isn't it? All the bits in it and floating around. Imagine diving into a saliva pool.
I'm just imagining somebody like wringing out their pillow after dribbling.
Isn't the body amazing?
Sticky.
And your final one on International Know Your Body Day. Humans are the only animals that cry when they're upset.
Are we?
No, that's interesting.
So do animals not produce tears?
No, they can't. Dogs whinge, but you've never seen a dog shed a tear or a cat shed a tear.
But why not? Have they not got tear ducts? They've got slightly soggy eyes. You need soggy eyes, otherwise you can't blink.
Maybe they're just not as emotional as us.
Yeah, just tougher.
They're just tougher.
Stiff upper lips.
Unless, like, dolphins cry, but you don't see it because they're already wet.
Oh, yeah, fish could be, like, bawling their eyes out the whole time. Oh, God!
That's so heartbreaking.
Poor fish. That's heartbreaking. Just give him a cuddle.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Morning, Lulu.
Morning. Right, I've got something to talk about here, and I can't decide whether to use our nice bit of Barry White music that we use sometimes when we're going to talk about naughty things.
We have a naughty things piece of music, just to indicate to our friends listening that what we're saying now is of a sexual nature.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't full-blown naughty thing, so I think maybe we don't need it
okay.
today.
Let's see what you got. We can always do it at the end.
Yeah, okay, that's a good thing, if you feel it's necessary.
Yes.
Well, this is a story about a grandma.
I'm going to play it. All right, carry on.
From Australia, bless her. I don't know her name, so I'm going to call her Maud.
Yeah.
And she was out shopping and she spotted a lovely handbag, or like a kind of shopper bag, that she thought, oh, that's nice, lovely little animals on it. And she thought, yeah, I'll treat myself to that, took it home. And then had a closer inspection of it, you know, maybe popped her glasses on.
Oh, no.
And realised that the cute little animals, and we're talking kangaroos, we're talking emus, koalas, the kind of classic Australian animals. They're all doing it, aren't they?
What do you mean they're doing it?
It's got like these really sweet, like watercolour pictures.
Oh,
at a glance, it's really cute. And then you look at it and you're like, oh.
And it's on the side of the bag.
And all over. It's like a print. Like lots of different animals.
Okay.
You've got
geckos
in there.
How do geckos do it?
Well, I can tell you.
Oh, I think. Have you got a picture?
Literally have a picture of all of them.
I think it's
like some kind of science lesson.
Yeah. I'm assuming a gecko mounts and goes on top.
Yeah, there's one gecko on top of the other. They all look like they're cuddling in a specific way. In fact, hang on, there's 4 of those porcupines. Why are there 4?
How does a porcupine do it, Lou?
Well, similar, but apparently there's a short queue.
What?
2 of them are waiting patiently.
Frisky. That's amazing.
So this poor nana's like sat at home going, well, I don't know what to do with this now. I can't be seen out in public with this.
Queue of horny porcupines. Give it
to me. Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
Mark's texting the show, Lou.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. He's in St Leonard's on Sea. 8:22:22. Starting text with the word more. We were just talking about how how certain animals, I don't know, how certain animals mate. And I proposed the question, how do porcupines do it? Because you mentioned porcupines.
Yeah.
Mark knows. He says that their spikes naturally curl away to reveal the ladies' bits. And it's apparently quite an amazing process to watch. He saw it on a nature show once.
What? Okay, so they naturally curl away, presumably from the man's, you know, as well. Otherwise, it's going to get tangled. Yeah.
Because obviously, he can't approach her with those quills, those spikes, because he'll get impaled.
Well, no, she'll get impaled.
She's going to get impaled anyway. But but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's quite fascinating nature.
It is
the natural sort of defense mechanism peels away. For you know, let's move on.
Have you heard about the ducks with the corkscrew shaped?
No. Talk to me.
Google it. It's a duck with a corkscrew shaped willy.
Right. That's part of the natural mating process. Yeah. It's shaped like that for a reason, is it?
Yeah.
It's not just
so the lady can't get away, which is a bit horrible.
Is that what happens with ducks?
Yeah.
It is interesting though, isn't it? How this all works.
Yeah, in a very weird way. I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable now. Can we move on?
I'm going to clip that little bit of audio for the rest of the day and play it on the show. Have you heard about the duck with the corkscrew willy? Have you heard about the duck with the corkscrew? Have you heard about the duck? Right, my 10-year-old Seb gave me this question yesterday.
Right.
He got it from one of his books. He loves his...
10-year-old books.
Yeah, Guinness World Record books and the books of world facts and stuff like this. I want to put it to you. I thought I'm going to do this with Lou in the morning.
Okay.
Because I got it completely wrong.
Oh.
I want to see how close you can get. I now know the answer, right?
Okay.
If you were to dig a tunnel...
Yeah.
Straight through Earth...
Yeah.
All the way down to Australia, right through the other side...
Yeah.
And drop a brick in... How long would it take for that brick to get to the other side? Now, you've got to take in consideration here, just for this question, there's no molten ball of lava in the middle of the Earth.
Is gravity still a thing or not? Because gravity would just suck it into the middle and it wouldn't come out the other side.
Is that what would happen?
Yeah.
Because I got confused with this.
Yeah,
so,
surely.
So
because gravity is all about into the middle of the Earth. There's a whole magnetic thing. The core of the Earth is what keeps us on the Earth.
That's right. So the brick will be flicking around in the middle. So we're taking gravity out of this. So,
but we're not entirely. We're moving it, aren't we, to Australia?
Lou, this is from a 10-year-old's mind, okay?
Well...
You're dropping a brick.
I have a GCSE in science and I'm prepared to use it.
God. I should have waited till Jack's back. No, that would have been worse.
That would have been so much worse.
You've drilled a tunnel, okay?
Yeah.
You've drilled a hole from right here in our studio all the way through to the other side of the world.
And the core of the Earth is now in Melbourne.
Forget about the core of the Earth. There's a tunnel all the way through. We can see through. We can see Bruce the other side going, all right.
Yeah.
You drop a brick. How long is it going to take for the brick to get to the other side?
I've no idea how far it is. I'm not good with big numbers.
I was well out.
Were you?
What does your gut tell you?
I can't even... I don't know.
Well, to say
is it,
what
is it going to increase in speed as it goes?
It gets to a certain speed and then doesn't go any faster.
2 hours? I don't know.
Oh, that's quite good.
Is it? Oh.
Because I thought a plane going to Australia takes about 12 hours.
You must have gone around, isn't it?
And I thought a brick would not go as quick. Then I thought, but this less distance, so I... but the brick's smaller, so I said a day and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
It's 42 minutes, apparently.
Oh!
So you're better than me.
I wasn't far off, was I?
42 minutes to drop a brick from one side to the other. Even more Radio Breakfast
with Tom, Lou and Jack. Blue Cantrell and Breathe on More Radio. Hello, Tom and Lou here. Hope you're doing all right. Heading towards 9 o'clock. Bit blustery out there today.
Sorry, delivery at home. Ring doorbell's just gone off on my phone.
Oh, but okay.
Just having a look. Yeah, no, it's all right. The wife's in. So yesterday, do you know the thing with deliveries at the minute? They've got to take pictures of the parcels?
Yes.
They take them on their phones. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was in yesterday, rang the doorbell, and I went...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
And he goes, I took it off and went, thank you. And he goes, I need a picture. And I was like, oh, fan of the show.
Oh, Tom!
I didn't think that. But I was like, well, I'm holding it now. So my options, this is going through my brain very, very quickly.
Yeah.
My options are to put it down on the floor and stand back.
Yeah.
Or hold it for him to take a picture.
Yeah.
So I held it like I just received an Oscar.
Yeah.
And he was like, he hesitated and looked at me with a facial expression that said, well, that's weird, but okay. But okay. So... I posed for a picture with my parcel. And it's now on this guy's phone, and he drove away, and I was thinking, that's, I regret that.
Well, you see, we've had several deliveries recently, and my other half, Pete, has been quite offended because they always ask him to step out of the phone.
That's really funny.
So, yeah, they was like, can you just move back, please, sir? Yeah. So they've got a load of photos of our doormat with parcels, but Pete's not allowed anywhere near.
I just picture,
so you're honoured, actually.
I just picture at the Christmas party, like, they put together like the top 10 parcel photos.
Yes, they will.
And they flick through them and they're like, way!
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
I'm not keen on this idea. Sainsbury's have launched pigs in blankets flavoured mayo.
Ooh. No, hang on a minute. Don't just rush into an ooh. I think that might work. I like different types of mayo. We like this Nando's...
Or like a peri-peri mayo.
Yeah, the peri-peri mayo is really
nice.
Yeah.
Garlic mayo.
Yeah, I like a garlic mayo. So I'm a mayo-y accepting man.
What a statement. You've just come out as a mayo-y accepting man.
Put that on my headstone. Here lies Tom Evans, a mayo-accepting man. What I'm trying to say is, I'm accepting of different types of... I'm not mayoist, so I'm happy to try it.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Favourite Cliff Richard song, Lou?
What was that?
Oh, no, that's... I've got mine ready to play.
Oh, OK.
That's what I'm just testing.
Sure. Well, I think Mistletoe and Wine. Classic. Christmas,
I knew you'd say that.
Yes!
Children singing Christian white
with logs on the potatoes, trees on the... I don't know what it is, but it's good, that one, isn't it?
It is good, yeah. Mm. I love a festive tune, a festive classic.
Hey, we'll be playing Christmas songs soon.
I know.
We should play them a little earlier this year
well. Do you think? Yeah, I was thinking that.
People need that lift.
They do.
I'll talk to the boss. The reason I'm bringing Cliff up, he's in the papers today. He has made an announcement. He will be releasing his 47th Cliff Richard Christmas calendar. But he has said, look, I'm very sorry, but this year, now I'm 80, I am not going topless. It's the first...
I genuinely don't know how to react. I was going to go, oh, and then I thought, I'm okay with that, actually.
the August picture is always him topless. It's like a tradition.
Oh, I see. Right, because it's hot.
And his fans go crazy for that. And he said, this year, look, I'm not doing it. And people are like, you shouldn't worry about age. You look great.
Well, no, you shouldn't worry about age at all. And I think that's really great and admirable that he's doing that. But I just can't get an image of Cliff Richard topless out of my head, Tom.
There you go.
Why have you done this?
My little gift to you for today.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
A group of fish that lives in the Sea Life Centre in Helsinki in Finland has been left feeling lonely and depressed.
Aww.
This is a very sad story. Partly his own fault, Lou.
It's one fish?
One fish. Well, yes. So what's happened here is... So he's lost his coloration. He's turned pale and grey. And that's an indication that they're sad.
Oh,
and he sits on the bottom of his tank.
Right.
So the tank keeper... Is it a keeper that keeps fish?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. Has said...
Wrangler.
The wrangler, yeah. Has said it's his own fault. So there's no sympathy here.
Why?
Because he ate all his tank mates.
Oh, yeah. He ate his friends.
He ate all his tank mates and now is feeling sorry for himself. He's got no one there. And, of course, they're closed due to coronavirus.
So he's got no visitors.
He's got no visitors to the aquarium, which he enjoys. So he's now kind of just having... He's got the hump and he's sitting on the bottom of the tank, bored.
Oh, I'm really torn because I feel sorry for him. But also, don't eat your friends.
It's your own... There's a lesson to be learnt here somewhere. Don't eat your friends.
This is awful.
It's bad. I don't know how you cheer them up because they keep putting new fish in.
What, they just get eaten?
And they get eaten.
Oh,
so it's a vicious circle.
They can't keep sacrificing fish. They're going to have to get him some little robotic mates. Like a little mannequin. Mannequin fish.
Yeah, but the
like they have in fish clothes shops.
But then he might eat the little mannequins. It's difficult.
Well, no, because they won't taste nice.
I have experience of this.
What? When have you eaten your friends?
Just bear with. I was very honoured to have a Chinese crab, like one of the huge crabs, like size of a person.
Yeah.
It was named after me at the Sea Life Centre in Brighton.
Right.
It was a great honour. However, I was in the tank with another one.
Yeah.
And Tom, the crab, what happened was they mated and then Tom ate the female. Yeah. It happens.
Tom?
The Sea Life Centre had to call me and say, listen, just so you know, you've lost your tank, mate. I was like, oh, Tom the crab, what happened? He got jiggy with it and then got hungry.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
This is exciting. You know our local astronaut, Tim Peake?
Yeah, he's our local one.
Well, he is. It's very cool to be able to say that. Yeah. From Chichester. He's from here in Sussex. He apparently is still in the frame, that's his words, for a NASA mission to space. He could be Britain's first man on the moon.
Oh, well, now that is cool. I thought he was done and dusted with his missions.
Apparently not.
He's done all his books, hasn't he? He's released all that. He's done his... his documentary. Yeah. Oh, right.
But I guess if he's still fit enough, I mean, he's 48.
Yeah.
So he's getting on a little bit for this kind of thing. I imagine you ideally you want to be in like your 30s or whatever for space. Right. Like, but hey, look, if they say he can go, awesome.
Yeah, they don't need to retrain him. I mean, he's got the knowledge, I guess. Who's your favourite astronaut, Lou?
I mean, out of Tim Peake and what, Lance Armstrong?
Yeah, the cyclist. Yeah. Who's your favourite?
Oh, no. Who is it? What Armstrong is it?
Gary.
No.
Paul.
No,
Clive Armstrong.
Who is it?
Do you mean Neil?
Neil Armstrong. That's, yeah.
There's
I can only name two, or can I clearly only name one?
The world's biggest sports cheat. There he is in his cycling shorts on the moon.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
Yesterday, someone in Britain scooped 79 million on the Euro Millions jackpot.
Oh, really?
They have not checked their numbers or claimed as yet. So we're being told to check, check, check.
79 million?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
are
we doing a live check?
I have a ticket right in front of me. This is from last night's draw. I bought one a week ago.
Right.
I'm going to do a live check.
Ooh! Okay, well, before can we just come to an arrangement?
Okay, I'm up for
as
that.
I'm facilitating this, yes. I feel like, you
yes.
know,
yeah.
small cut.
Mm-hmm.
A million? Half a million.
Oh, really?
What are you offering?
I've only got 79.
Only 79. What are you offering? Come on.
25,000.
75.
50,000.
60.
No. I can't go that far,
55.
Lou. 53,000.
54 and a half.
53,000.
All right, I'll take it. Go on.
Okay, I would have gone up, but you
I don't care. Go there.
Right, let me just check this, because I won't be in tomorrow if this is right. Scanning.
Hey, you won't be in?
No, if I win.
Yeah, you're scanning. What does this mean?
Here we go.
Do you not go on a website anymore?
No. Oh, bum.
What?
Wait. No. No, no winning matches.
Not even one.
No, you do the app and it scans it on the app.
Right.
The lottery app and it says no, nothing there.
Not even like 2 quid.
No, sorry.
You're out of luck. Are you bluffing?
Maybe.
You better not be. Now, Tom, you've got a telling off from Justin in St Leonard's.
Well, this isn't the first one I've had this morning.
No, I like you, Justin. Thank you very much for bringing this up, because I didn't feel able to. And I've actually had quite a raw deal here, and I'm glad that you can see that. Going back to your lottery ticket that we checked live on air about half an hour ago.
So we heard this morning that someone from Britain won the Euro Millions last night.
Yeah.
79 million quid.
It's a lot of money. 79 million quid.
My ticket's here. Now, we checked it live on the show.
Yeah.
And before we did the check, we brokered a deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, we tried. I'm not good with big numbers, particularly under pressure. 79 million is an unthinkable amount of money. And yeah. I panicked and caved in too easily to your measly offer.
I offered you £25,000 if I'd won the 79 million.
No, I wasn't quite that foolish.
And then we settled on, what, 53?
53, yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting berated here because that's stingy, apparently.
Yeah, what is it? 0.07% of your winnings.
It's actually less than that. But,
oh, God.
Okay, well, my theory is, Lou, I have other people to think about.
No, I completely appreciate that. You want to keep the bulk for yourself. You want to make sure your kids are going to be all right, look after your wife, buy them nice things. You want to give some to charity. You've got loads of friends and family. But 0.07.
After thinking about it and it settled, and knowing I haven't won, so it's irrelevant, really. But what?
Yeah.
In hindsight,
yeah.
What would you have felt is a fair figure?
Well,
considering we work together daily.
Daily. Like, we're quite a close-knit,
very
you, me
close.
And Jack, aren't we?
Very.
Are we? Hang on, are me and Jack getting the same?
Jack's not here, so no.
Oh, okay, so I get double.
I've won 79 million. Yeah. How much would you expect? Last chance.
Half a million.
Get out. Get out.
Half a million.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Let's talk about this house in Bexhill that's making national press today. So this guy decorates his house for every occasion. Christmas, Easter, Armistice Day even.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And none more so than Halloween. They go all out on this house. He's got, I'm looking here, he's got flying ghosties and ghoulies up on up on wires, little devil horns on the front gates and everything like this. Anyway, he's had complaints. Apparently the property is too scary. He's gone too far. He's terrifying people, specifically children, that pass by the house daily. So they're saying he's gone too far and he's got to take it down. Now, his immediate neighbours are saying, leave him alone, we love it. It's, yeah. It's, you know, the street's famous for it now. You know, let him embrace these festival seasons and get on with it.
That's a bit sad, isn't it? Okay, hang on. Right, I've got an idea, because yeah. There's another house here in Sussex that's making the news. Highcroft House of Horror, which is in Brighton.
That's the Brighton one.
Yeah, so this guy does the same. He decorates it for Christmas, he does Halloween as well. Let's compare what they both look like.
Okay.
Maybe the children of Brighton are a little sturdier than the children of Bexhill.
Maybe, but people are complaining. He's had a letter, a couple of emails.
Really?
I'm looking at the pictures now. It's in the Daily Mail today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary. He's done a great job, but it's just, it's not like, you know, a horror movie or anything. It's still a little bit pantomime about it, I think.
I've got a pretty creepy clown, with light up eyes and a sign that says free hugs. So it looks like he's about to come and get you.
Okay, I have a hovering pirate skeleton dressed in a black robe.
Okay, I've got a little devil child riding an inflatable duck, I think. She's also got light up sort of zombie eyes.
I can offer you three witches cackling on the front lawn.
Oh, nice. Yeah. A couple of tombstones.
Oh, no tombstones here.
No?
But as I did mention earlier, two horny devils on the gatepost.
Yours sounds more comedy.
That's a little bit.
So that's it for this episode of the More Radio Breakfast podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now, I know it's a bit of a faff, but if you could leave us a review, subscribe, that kind of thing. Tell your mates. That would be awesome. Spread the word a little bit more around Sussex. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. on More Radio.
Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits. Even more Radio Breakfast. More.